How are you going? Welcome to NBA Australia. It's Friday, March 2. This is our 69th episode. Nice. And I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places that want to give me money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, where there is currently no dudes on top of the brownstone in front of us because it's snowing. Dude, I was like almost in shorts yesterday and it's snowing. This is bananas. Anyway, we're here making sure you know everything that's going on in the NBA, who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball today. Just out here repping Australia, mate. Talking NBA junk for your favorite daily NBA podcast. That's right, man. It's what we do. Oh, yeah. We're wrapping all the NBA fun from last night. There's a lot of stuff going on. Plus, there's all the usual dumbassery, a special extendo edition of Better Than Lonzo Ball, the unpopular opinion of the day. Oh, Jesus, we're going to yell about some jerseys in that one. And as we do every day here on NBA Australia, we check in on every Australian player out there. See how they're going, mate. And it's Friday, so we have Dickhead of the Week. Add to our Luke Longley All-Star Hall of Fame. Preview every single damn NBA game for the entire weekend and finish up with a brand new, you're going to love this, Cooking with Bainesy. Oh, I love it. It's so good. All right, let's get to it. It's NBA Australia. Let's go.
Oi, oi, oi. It's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Manny Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Yeah, you better, because it is NBA Australia, and this is the Daily Whip Around. Right there, man, right there. We only had four games last night, but they were four good ones. Lakers beat the Heat in Miami. Oosh, Heat. Come on, guys. What are y'all doing? D-Wade had 25 points in 26 minutes off the bench. Old man D-Wade is down there in that South Beach Heat with Gabrielle Union. Providing cleaning services. I'm gonna just leave it at that. 19-7 for Goran the Flog. Bam! Adebayo. Is he now officially better than Hassan Whiteside?
Yeah.
Fuck yes. He ends up with 15 and 10 and two blocks in 30 minutes, while Whiteside only manages 19 minutes and a disappointing 6 points and seven boards. On you, Bam. Still, Lakers win this on the back of Isaiah Thomas finally hitting his stride. Literally a day after we called him out on this podcast. NBA Australia, the power to change the world. Isaiah Thomas ends up with 29 points. 6 of 11 from 3. Not bad, man. Not bad. Good job, little fella. The little guy. Julius Randle has 25. Looking good. Trying to get paid. 19-5-5 for Brandon Ingram. Problem is for Brandon Ingram, it has a left hip flexor strain. He's now questionable to play San Antonio on Saturday. That's a bit of a disappointment. He was just fucking killing it too. The notorious KCP has 18, 16 for Kuz. Lonzo. We'll talk about his game in Better Than Lonzo Ball. Lakers now on a four-game winning streak post-All-Star. And I did not expect them to wander into Miami, get a night in Miami, partying in South Beach, and then come out and beat the fucking Heat, man. That's crazy. Thing is, Heat, they're riding some crazy ups and downs, man. So they have the D-Wade buzzer beater, but they've also lost now 9 of their last 12. If they don't get that buzzer beating win over the Sixers, that's like a fucking train wreck, isn't it? Jesus. So they're now currently sitting in 8th spot in the East, while the Lakers making a late run for the 8th spot in the West. I mean, they're only 6 games behind the Nuggets, but Jesus, you know, at least they're within spitting distance. Speaking of spitting, the Sixers spat all over the Cavs in Cleveland, 108-97, after the Cavs put up a billboard saying, yo, this is the motherfucking King Dome, Kingland, Cleveland, that's how it rolls. And the Sixers beat them. So what are you going to do? After the Sixers put up their own billboards in Philly, well, Philly had their own billboards in Philly about LeBron. Cavs like, hey man, he lives here. What up? No, we're not nervous at all. Yes, this was an awesome game though. Cavs suspended J.R. Smith for the entire game, basically for 2 hours before the tip. for something that happened after shoot-around, according to Ty Lue, and we just got some breaking news on that, thanks to Woj and Brian Windhorst. So, we'll talk about that in worst, what is it? Old Mate, No Mates, that's where it'll be. Then, we had this game though, Simo versus LeBron. Just amazing to see them go up against each other, and Simo wins! Amazing! Embiid's out there talking shit, riling up the crowd, hitting these amazing Hakeem-like little fadeaway jumpers. Dario Saric dunking at the death and getting Jordan Clarkson heated and ejected. This was amazing! How much fun was this game? God damn it, it was awesome. So Cavs, 39-8 for LeBron, but the rest of his team, absolute shit show. 41 points for the new guys combined, 16 from 38 from the field though. That's not great. Jeff Green, Kyle Korver also went 2 of 9, so no good. The Cavs, they are 1 in 5 when no teammate of LeBron scores more than 15. Yeah, no shit. That's a dumb stat. Dario Saric, the homie, has 16 and 9. Ben Big's fucking dick, Big Simo, 18, 9 and 8. We'll talk about that later in Better Than Lonzo Ball. You know it. Joel Embiid, 17 and 14 and 6 assists, and he just looked incredible. Just saying. Philly looked better than the Cavs last night, didn't they? Holy shit, they are legit. I love it. Anya, that is really, like, it helped the JJ Redick at 22 and was, like, on fucking fire like the human torch. But at the same time, that's what happens when you suddenly have shooters around you. And shooters around, like, Big Simo when he's driving to the bucket, Embiid when he's doing all these like weird little post-ups and then fade flares out to the top of the arc. It's amazing to watch them now. They're really, really fucking fun. And now that they've added Ersan Ilyasova and old mate Marco Bellinelli over there, you know, there's just way more space. So Ilyasova has 6 points in his debut and Bellinelli had 11. Pretty damn good, dude. Pretty damn good. I mean, they didn't go great guns from 3, 0-2 and 1-4, but still, come on. Good job, Sixers. Smash the Cavs. Fuck the Cavs. Woo! Nets at Kings. Oh, gross. Nets lose this 111-116 in overtime because De'Aaron Fox got it to overtime with a nice little pull-up floater after just some horrible Nets defense. There's like 6 seconds left. They inbound. They dribble. They're trying their hardest to lose the game. And then De'Aaron Fox just fucking fakes out Spencer Dinwiddie. I'm not entirely sure why Spencer Dinwiddie is like trying to keep like a body on De'Aaron Fox on the three-point line when that motherfucker can't shoot. De'Aaron Fox goes, why is this dude closing out on me? Drives straight past him, hesitates a hint, gets Damari Carroll off his feet, and boom, sinks the floater, puts it to overtime. And then after that, no problems. They just fucking smoked him because D'Angelo Russell, he's a fucking shit show. He basically lost the game for the Nets in overtime. He's like, oh, hey, what do you reckon? Should I shoot this when I've not hit any shots? And he's like, yeah, I probably should. How about I turn it over a couple of times? Everyone's like, oh, that seems like a great idea, D'Angelo, you fucking moron. Anyway, he's shit. Watching him is really fucking tough, I'll tell you that. He had 8 points on 10 shots. Hit a crucial couple of big ones late, but at the same time, also sank the Nets with some horrible decision-making. Just watching him dribble out a fast break when they're basically trying to win the game. There's like 29 seconds left. Fast break. He's got like a two on one, 3-on-2, I think maybe. Pulls it out. Stops that. Pounds the rock for most of the shot clock. Then passes it with fuck all time left to an ice cold Spencer Dinwiddie. That doesn't go very high up in my estimation of great decisions of all time. What the fuck are you doing, D'Angelo Russell? You're a flog. Caris LeVert also had a shocker. 8 points on 11 shots. A minus 18 in 20 minutes. But for the good stuff on the Nets, 23 for Damari Carroll, 17 for Allen Crabbe. Gee, I don't know, maybe hit it to the guy, Allen Crabbe, who's fucking flamethrowing from deep. D'Angelo, you fucking dipshit. Anyway, 14, 11, and 3 blocks for fucking Jared Allen. Getting to the point where Donovan fucking Mitchell might be joined in the fucking States with fucking Jared Allen. Dude is crushing it in his last bunch of games. Like, for a dude who was like the 21 pick, that's a good bunch of value for the old Nets over there. So over his last 5 games, he's averaging just a lazy 13 and 10. Holy shit. Not bad, bro. Not bad. And that throw is sick. For Sacramento, 17 each for De'Aaron Fox and Big Willie Cauley-Stein. 16 for Bogdan Bogdanovic, including some crucial clutch buckets down the stretch. Bogdan, man, that dude has got balls. And then the final game of the night, the Wolves, they lose to the Blazers in Portland, 108-99. Huge second half from Dame and CJ McCollum. Dame goes off after being 0 of 8. He hits all four of his threes in the second half. Unbelievable. Ends up with 35 points on 9 of 22 shooting. Unbelievable. He's like telling everybody what time it is. Turns out in the Pacific Northwest, it's Dame time. Holy shit. 19 for CJ, 16 for Shabazz Napier. And the Blazers smoke the Wolves. 34-17 for Big Cat. Does nothing really offensively in the second half, though. That 34-17 was a pretty flimsy 34-17, if there's such a thing. 21 for Big Andrew Wiggins. But man, the Blazers, as mentioned, had their last two wins. But without Jimmy Butler, their next eight games are an absolute fucking shit show. All against playoff teams, or at least teams trying to make the playoffs. So, Wolves, man, trying to hang on. Meanwhile, the Blazers just out there going, hey, we're basically like fucking chilling. We're the four seed at the moment. They're tied with San Antonio in four in the West. And like a half game back from Minnesota? Not bloody bad. Not bloody bad. So let's talk about it. Who had the NBA Australia Pro performance of the night?
That's a knife.
Gee, was it LeBron James with the behind-the-back nutmeg of his own teammate to himself for the and-one layup? Holy shit. So we have one night, we have James Harden crossing over Wes Johnson and like ruining his life, retiring that motherfucker out. It's like, yep, Wes Johnson, you're not allowed to play basketball ever again. LeBron James, he's double-teamed. He's basically got a side pick and roll. Tristan Thompson sets the pick, flares off, but LeBron has still got two dudes on him. He goes, right, fuck this. Behind the back, nutmegs Tristan Thompson as Tristan Thompson is rolling to the bucket. LeBron splits the double team, collects the ball again, lays the ball up, and gets fouled. This was just, that's the fucking performance of the night. Like, some of the stat lines were really, really good. But Jesus, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists for LeBron. But this move was fucking un-goddamn real. On you, LeBron. We don't talk about him probably even enough on this goddamn podcast, but that was spectacular. And that's a goddamn knife. Right, who's old mate, no mates today?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? It's got to be J.R. Smith, doesn't it? In Cleveland. I mean, the question was, what do you have to do after shoot-around to get kicked to the curb and suspended for a game 2 hours before the tip? Well, it was rumored, according to ESPN Deportes, that he chucked a wobbly about Rodney Hood starting over him. But JR was going to start, and is starting the next game when he comes back, according to Ty Lue. So that never seemed right. Now, breaking news, Woj and Brian fucking Chunky Boy Windhorst over there are reporting that JR chucked a plate of soup at Damon Booby Jones after practice. What are you doing, JR? Hen Smith, what's going on? What sort of soup was it? What sort of bowl was it? Were we talking like a plastic bowl? Are we talking ceramic? Are we talking some sort of fired clay? Is he got a mug? Is it like one of those specific big soup mug things like I got old mate for Christmas one time? Why was JR eating soup? What sort of soup was it? Was it chowder? Was it basil and tomato? Gazpacho? Veggie? Thai chicken? Chicken noodle? What's the best one he could have thrown? Like Italian wedding or matzo ball where it's like a bit of broth and like some dumplings or whatever? I mean, the worst has got to be like chowder or something chunky and smelly, but damn, man, I love soup. I make a killer fucking Luxa, son. I'll tell you that much. King Jimmy and JR Smith's Luxa truck coming to Cleveland fucking soon as. JR, he's just like standing at the fucking front of the food truck throwing soup at everybody. He's like, come on, JR, I just made that. The dude paid for it. You can't throw it at him. He's like, fuck you, man, I'm going to throw this soup. And it's like, maybe going into business on a soup truck with JR Smith wasn't a great idea. Anyway, JR Smith, man, you can't throw soup. Not at Damon Jones either. Come on, that's LeBron's boy. He's going to fucking whoop your ass. And also, old mate, no mates, Jesus Christ, D'Angelo Russell. Fuck, what a shit show. He kills me. All right, let's go to Better Than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Never last. This is your daily look into who is better than Lonzo Ball last night. It is hashtag better than Lonzo Ball, and it's gonna be Big Dick Big Simo Ben Simmons. Oh, the best part is, Ben Simmons has 18 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Goes 8 of 14 from the field. Gets the win over LeBron. Unreal. The best part, though, he got called amphibious by Chris Webber. He drives. Chris Webber's like, the best part about his finishing is that he's amphibious. It's like, oh, okay. So he's a frog. I don't know. The thing is, Big Simo is so good at everything else, he might just be amphibious, and we don't know it. Unbelievable. I wouldn't put it past him. He is the son of Dave Simmons. He can do anything. Lonzo Ball, though, in the win over the Heat. Had a pretty good game. 34 minutes. Only 8 points, but still seven assists, 6 rebounds, and 6 steals for Lonzo. And some pretty great defense that D-Wade. D-Wade hit a shot from behind the backboard, the old Larry Bird falling out of bounds. Throw it up behind the backboard and it goes in shot. And Lonzo's playing defense on this. D-Wade puts up, I think, an Instagram post later just going, hey, man, the defense on this was great. I just hit a pretty fucking sweet shot, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, good job. So Lonzo goes 3 of 5 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. It was a plus 24 while he's out there. So, I don't know. What do you reckon? Do you think Lonzo's pretty good at basketball? I'd say so. Nice one. All right, let's get to Dickhead of the Week.
Dickhead of the Week.
Nice one. Well, this is easily going to be the mouth breather who racially abused Patty Mills on Sunday and then got banned by Cleveland for a year. Good job, Cavs. Also, the mouth breather's defending someone, racially abusing someone else on a basketball court. Yeah, you're also the fucking dickheads of the week. What are you going to do? But we're not going to be, because it's episode 69, we're going to try to give everything a little bit of a nice feel to this. So how about the legends of the week? Andrew Bogut and David Anderson for jumping on NBA Australia and giving us a bit of love on Twitter. Thanks, big fellas. That's fucking awesome. You guys are legends. So you guys are our legends of the week. We don't have a drop for that, but you're fucking awesome. So good job, Andrew Bogut and David Anderson. All right, let's get to Yeah Nas right after these words. This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, man. NBA Australia. It's Yeah Nas. You ready for this? We take a whole bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. It's Yeah Nah. It's the Extendo edition as well, because we had a couple of good ones to talk about. So let's do it. We've got 6 of them. Number 1, did the Kings fuck up by beating the Nets? Yeah, nah. Yeah, of course. Of course they did. You can't trust the Kings to even fucking tank properly. In the awful 8, those 8 teams all vying for that fucking like completely bonkers little bit at the bottom of the standings. With that win, Sacramento bumped themselves out of basically a tie for the number 1 pick into a tie for the number anywhere down to the number 6 pick. Sacramento, that's not smart. What the fuck are you morons doing? Come on. Still, as a fan, this would be fun as hell to go to, right? Because there's nothing like just going to a game, being entertained, sitting through an overtime and actually having your team win. Even if it does suck in, like down the in the long run. I mean, of course, it's not going to be as feeling as nice when they pick 6th in June. But, you know, Sacramento going to Sacramento. Just how it goes. Number 2, do Portland have a puncher's chance at anybody in the West top 4? Yeah, nah. Yeah. I mean, we don't know who the top 4 are. And Portland might be fucking in there. If the Wolves keep dropping, Portland, they're just out there crushing it on a, what is it now? A 7-game, no, they're on a 5-game winning streak. Minnesota, with their fucking record, oh, Jesus, only half game back from 3. Portland, looking good, man, looking good. Number 3, did Shabazz Muhammad's agent look at the standings before asking for a buyout to join, quote, a playoff contender before he got bought out and decided to go to the Bucks? Yeah, nah. Nah, obviously fucking not. Dude, you were on a top 3 seed. The Wolves are in number 3. Like, I get that you're not fucking playing and that Tibbs hates you, but damn, that's done. You can't have, like, someone say that sort of dumb shit. It's like, oh, you want to go to a playoff contender? Hey, Baz, you're on the 3 seed in the West, you fucking dipshit. Anyway, number 4, is Derrick Rose done? Oh, Jesus. So yesterday was the deadline for you have to be waived by a team to be picked up and be playoff eligible. No one has picked up Derrick Rose yet. Luckily enough, though, he was waived before that deadline. So, thing is, no one's interested. He's getting a little bit of interest in the terms of 10-day contracts. That is a fall from grace. Hey, Derrick Rose is 29. He was MVP 7 years ago. He's probably done, right? I just hope not. You can't fuck off for 2 months in the middle of the year, though, and expect everyone to come rushing up to you with contract offers after you've bought out, though, right? Like, at what point have you ever gone, you know what, Derrick Rose seems like he's a really, really put-together kind of young man. You know? Jesus. Anyway, number five, was it disrespectful of Dario Saric to dunk when the Sixers had the game out of reach of the Cavs at the death last night? Yeah, nah! Of course it's fucking not. LeBron himself said you have to play to the final whistle. So why are you bitching? You can't turn around and mumble some bullshit about unspoken rules when you've spoken about those rules. If you're gonna get upset, Jesus, Jordan Clarkson, don't lose the fucking game in the first place, you flog. I hate this bullshit of like, hey man, that's disrespectful. It's like, no, what's disrespectful is you putting in half fucking effort and losing in front of your home fans. Not letting Dario Saric dunk when there's 20 seconds left in the fucking game. Final one. Oh, yeah, nah. LeBron James should go to Philly this offseason. Yeah, nah. Yeah, let's do it. If he can get Paul George to come with him, fucking A. Philly have only got $43 million in guaranteed contracts next year. Can open up $75 million in contract space. Let's get it. Let's get it done. LeBron and Paul George to Philly. Complete the process. I love it. I absolutely love it. Fucking juggernaut with Big Ben Simmons right there, Joel Embiid, LeBron, Paul George. It's pretty good. All right, look at me, look at me. I'm popular up into the daytime.
Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me, look at me.
All right, man. No team should ever have a gray uniform apart from the Spurs. And even then, maybe. That's how it should go, right? Look, this got brought up yesterday, sitting there with old mate watching some of the games, and you're like, oh, man. Some highlights and like Boston wearing their horrible like gray alternates. And it's like, oh man, those are shit. And then you're like, wait, Cleveland are wearing their grays tonight. The land, the city ones. It's like, you know what? Every gray uniform looks fucking horrible. Boston, Cleveland, Brooklyn, the Wolves, the Thunder, the Rockets. They all look shit house. Like each of these teams has great colors and great other uniforms to work with. Why the fuck would you have a gray uniform? Who's ever been inspired by anything gray when it wasn't that Liam Neeson movie? Like, who goes, hey, you know what my favorite color is? Gray. Fucking no one. Stop it. It looks shit. You're DJ coloring. You're playing yourselves. Jesus. Oh, that fucking annoys me. Those fucking Brooklyn ones where it's like, hey man, these are the Dodgers colors. You gotta respect those colors. Well, no, it just looks shit and boring. Fuck off. Those Cleveland the Land ones. Dude, Cleveland have got like, you know, the fucking weird burnt orange, maroon, blue, yellow. That's so much better than this horrible fucking goddamn bullshit. And the Pistons with like their random like, what is it? They've got the crazy sort of checkered flag one. Oh, it's just fucking shit. Stop it with the gray uniforms. But hey, we're trying to be positive. Remember in the 69th, nice episode, here are six nice things about the NBA right now. Come on, we're trying to like get the vibe go or into the weekend, trying to get the vibe going. Nice. Episode 69, don't forget. Number one, we have a legit competition at the top of each conference between the 1 and 2 seeds in Toronto and Boston, in Houston and Golden State. That's nice. Number two, we have so much legit comp in the middle of each playoff race that it's bananas from 3 to 10 in both East and West. That's nice. Tankathon 2018 is amazing. It's so much fun seeing who out of the awful eight will trip over themselves the most. That's nice. The Nets suck, but they're kind of fun, and it means tickets are really cheap at the moment. Nice. Harden versus LeBron versus Anthony Davis versus Kevin Durant the Coward versus Rusty is actually a very fun MVP conversation. That's nice. And finally, Big Simo and all the other Australians are having a combined best Australian year on record in the NBA by far. That's nice. So thanks a lot, episode 69. This has been very nice. All right, let's get to the Australian Player Watch right after these ones.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Stream, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, man, it's the NBA Australian Player Watch. We talk about all the NBA Australian players, see how they're going. Big Simmons, I told you. Big Ben over there, win over the Cavs. He had 18 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Absolutely fucking smashed. It looked great, too. God damn it, he gets up. It's pretty awesome. They have the Hornets tonight and then the Bucks on Sunday. Talk about that in a second. Patty Mills has the Lakers on Saturday. Joe Ingles plays the Wolves on Friday, the Kings on Saturday. And Jingles, still the second best three-point shooter in the league. Not bloody bad, Jingler. Not bloody bad. Dele, we still have no update on his injury, but you got to assume that he'll be back kind of soon because it's basically hit the 3 to 4 week mark of when he hurt his ankle. So look, you saw all the rehab videos. Dude looks like a fucking tank. Beast mode, Maribara. That's how it goes. They're going to shoot the next Predator in Maribara, and it's going to be Dele just fucking shredding motherfuckers. I absolutely love it. What do you reckon? All right, so Big Thon McCur, he's out there. The Bucks, they, on the weekend, have a couple of good games. It is right there. Pacers. Oh, Victor Oladipo. And then Philly on Sunday. So we get a bit of Aussie on Aussie violence on Sunday. I love it. Thon McCur versus Big Ben Simmons. Maybe Dele's back for that one as well. That'd be a corker. Big Dick Aaron Baines. He's all of Australia. Goes up against Clint Capela. And the Rockets on Sunday, Saturday night rather, on primetime. It's going to be amazing. Celtics versus Rockets. Gimme, 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 gimme. Andrew Bogut. No team yet. Expect someone to like give him a call, I reckon. And how about a daily question? Yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Ah, yeah, but he should be back soon. He is still in no contact drills and practice. He is questionable for tonight's game. Interesting, man. Interesting. So according to Donovan Mitchell, he has high hopes, high spirits. He's always in there working early. As you see, he's the last one out here. That's pretty good, man. This is pretty good. So questionable. I love it. Gimme, 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 gimme. I just need some more Dante Exum. And the final part of the Australian Player Watch, how's Kyrie doing? Well, he's equal ninth in scoring with Devin Booker and Rusty Westbrook at 24.9 points a game. Come on, Kyrie, let's get a scoring explosion. And he goes up against Chris Paul and the Rockets on Saturday night. It's awesome. So, it's Friday. Let's add to the Luke Longley All-Stars of role players who just did their damn job and shut the fuck up. Gimme Lindsey Hunter from the 2004 Detroit Pistons title team. Dude spent 12 of his 17 seasons in the NBA with the Pistons in two different stints at the start and at the end. But he gave them valuable backup point guard minutes all the way through their 2004 title run behind Chauncey Billups. While Billups was basically averaging 18 points a game in about 36 minutes, Lindsey Hunter popped in with the other 12 minutes of the game all the way through the playoffs. He didn't shoot great during that playoff stretch, but did his damn job throwing down assists and kept, especially in the fucking... in the finals, kept the Lakers guards, Gary Payton, D-Fish, and stuff like that, quite quiet in his minutes. And look, he was a shit coach, obviously, but still, defense first backup point guard for the ages. He knew his role, didn't fuck around, and that's why teams kept him playing until he was 39. Dude got paid in the NBA for 17 years until he was 39. That's awesome. Gimme some Lindsey Hunter into the Luke Longley All-Stars role players who just knew do their fucking job, Hall of Fame. Good job. Hashtag on your Lindsey Hunter. You kind of flog. I dig it. Not bloody bad. All right, let's go to the game previews and the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board right after this.
G'day. This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, man. Y'all ready? It's the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board. Well, unfortunately, Patty is just like taking a couple of days off the old Twitter there, so there's nothing. He just has his Game Day Baller Game Day hashtag versus New Orleans game they lost a couple of days ago. What are you going to do? So let's get to
game previews. Game previews
for the entire NBA weekend. We've got a lot of games. We have... I believe it is 22. That's pretty good. Let's do it. So Friday, Pistons at Magic. Doesn't it feel like Blake will end up on the Magic at some point? Weird, right? I don't know. Pistons trying to win a game against a team not on a back-to-back for the first time since Blake got there. Give me the Pistons, I think, in this one. I think they finally get one. Hornets at Sixers. Sixers on a back-to-back, obviously. But, man, they need to win this one, I think, to be taken super serious. I mean, I take them seriously already. And we know that they can beat anybody on the on any given night. But this is the sort of thing that you got to just take fucking... Take care of business, you know what I'm saying? Get it, the old TCB. Give it the old Elvis. Taking care of business. Just fucking do it. Also, the Hornets are trash pandas. So, come on, man. Give me the Sixers. Warriors at Hawks. Man, just fuck the Hawks. Warriors kill them. Raps at Wiz. Oh, this is kind of fun, right? I mean, this is fun. I hate the Wiz. They're just so fucking up and down that it kills me. But this is the number one team in the Eastern Conference taking on the number four team. And, man, if the Wiz lose this, the Pacers, the Sixers, and the Bucks are just right there behind them, too. So, thing is, the Cavs are basically only half game up on Wiz. So, if the Wiz win this, they move into three. It's unbelievable. Anyway, this is very tasty. Brad Beal versus Demar right there. Give me the Raptors in Washington. Mavs at Bulls. Tankathon 2018. I love it. The awful eight. Tankathon, give it to me. Does someone have to win this game? Like, can they just have like a gentleman's agreement? It's like, ah, we'll just tie it. What do you reckon? Come on. Come on. No ties in the NBA. So give me the Bulls. Even though the Mavs are playing much better of late, I still think the Bulls, they've got to snap their fucking horrible run of, what is it? Like, yeah, 5-game losing streak the Bulls are on. Oh, Jesus. Brutal. Give me the Bulls. Nugs at Grizz. Speaking of shit teams, the Get Right Grizz. It's a nice one for the Nugs after that Rockets loss 2 nights ago. So the Nugs win that one. Pacers at Bucks. Oh, Jesus, Pacers. Could you, like, stop sucking? They've lost 3 straight. Victor Oladipo hasn't been as efficient as usual. But the Bucks are also a little bit whack at the moment, right? So, Bucks have lost 3 straight. Pacers have lost 3 straight. It's the unstoppable force meeting the immovable object right there. Give me the Bucks at home. I think they'll be hanging out, chilling. Jabari Parker, couple of days rest, had a shit show on his back-to-back the other night, so I think the Bucks will be fine. Thunder at Suns. Oosh, man, Thunder, they're lucky how they get these shit teams randomly after like they lose a game. Pretty good. This makes a bit of sense. So Thunder eke one out against Dallas. I think they beat the Suns here too. Wolves at Jazz. Wolves on a back-to-back against Jingler and his Jazzers. Damn, son, Wolves are gonna lose that one. Go Jinglers, let's do it. Knicks at Clips. Oh Jesus, that's gross. Who wants to watch that fucking Knicks team at the moment? Give me the Clippers in that. Tobias Harris. DeAndre Jordan versus Enes the Penis Kanter. Oh, jeez. Saturday, Grizz at Magic. Oh, my God. Tankathon 2018, the awful eight. I love these matchups. Who's going to watch this game? Memphis versus Orlando. Jesus. Give me... Look, the Magic will be on a back-to-back. And they should also probably be on an 8-game losing streak. But you know what? They might beat the Grizz. That's hilarious. So these guys, 18 and 43 both. So they are tied for the worst record in the league. And one of them is going to move into pole position, the number one pick after this game. Un-fucking-believable. Give me the Grizz. I think the Grizz will do it. They've just got dudes who tried. The Magic have got more talent. Give me the Magic. Nugs at Cavs. Oh, Nugs on a back-to-back and traveling. Yeah, the Cavs will win that one, won't they? LeBron just got to do it. Pistons at Heat. Ooh, Heat need to fucking get a win here. Too many random losses in this last 12-game stretch. So let's go, Heat. Got to beat Blake. Whiteside versus Drummond should be pretty interesting. And James Bloodsport Johnson might try to kill Blake on the court as a ritual sacrifice. Celtics at Rockets. Yes! Marv Albert voice. Saturday night on ABC. Love it. Top team in the West versus the second best East team. Kyrie and co versus Harden and CP3. This is going to be tasty as hell. Give me. So the Rockets on a 14-game winning streak at this point. Celtics, 4-game winning streak after the All-Star break. Meeting. I love this. Give me the Rockets. I think they keep cruising, especially at home. Lakers at Spurs. Lakers could probably win this one, right? No LaMarcus Aldridge, no Kawhi. I think the Spurs swoon continues, man. I just don't like the feel of the Spurs at the moment. It's a whole vibe, you know? Lakers win that. Thunder at Blazers. Oh, I miss my Sonics so much. I don't whinge enough about it on this here podcast, but as a Sonics fan growing up and a Sonics fan still, this was like one of the best rivalries in the NBA. Like Lakers-Celtics, sure, because they're playing off in the fucking finals and whatnot. Celtics-Knicks, sure, whatever. But they're not that regional or that isolated. None have been that good at the same time for ages. Like, come on, man. Give me the Sonics Blazers again. That's all I ask. Anyway, two assumed playoff teams cranking it. This is going to be a great one. So between Celtics and Rockets and then Thunder Blazers, that's fucking awesome Saturday night. Give me the... I think the Blazers keep rolling. Thunder on a back-to-back as well. So, yeah, give me the Blazers. Nice one. And Jazz at Kings on a back-to-back. Jazz, Kings suck. This is a nice little litmus test for the Jazz as well if they want to stay in touch with the playoff race. For sure. And then finally, Sunday, Suns at Hawks. Tankathon! It just doesn't stop, man. The awful eight going up against each other. I love it. Give me the Hawks at home. Hornets at Raps. Raps going to smash. Unbelievable. Hornets are horrible. Pacers at Wiz. Even though the Hornets have gotten okay in like the last, like, what, 10 games? The Raps. This is the one where they always kick the shit out of somebody who you'd expect them to lose to. But and the Raps at home have just an absolutely fucking bananas 25-5 record. So they'll win that one. Pacers at Wiz. Pacers need that hardcore, but I think the Wiz get it. Pelicans at Mavs. Oh, do you reckon Anthony Davis can score 60 points in this one? 60 points, 40 rebounds. That's my over-under for Pelicans versus Mavs. Who's guarding him on the fucking Mavs? Jesus Christ. Dwight Powell? I'm just going to dunk over the top of that motherfucker. Come on. Sixers. Yeah, Pelicans win that. Sixers at Bucks. Aussie. Simo on Thon and maybe even Delhi. Give me that one. I think the Sixers win that. Nets at Clips. Oh, the Nets are a shit show. Clips need this one to stay in the hunt for the playoffs. And Kings at... Oh, no. Knicks at Kings. Oh, what a game to close out the weekend. That's an absolute fucking shit show, isn't it? Man, Clips win the last game. Knicks, they beat the Kings in this one. Tankathon, baby. I love it. You know what? That is it. That is all 22 games for the weekend previewed. And that's it for this week on NBA Australia. This has been awesome. It's been a great week. Great full week. First full week back since All-Star. Thanks for all the comments and all the likes and everything on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Hit us up if you've got any questions. If you want me to address anything, you want me to talk about any specific subject, man, I'd love to. Just hit me up right there. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. Chuck us a nice rating and review while you're at it. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats, the best band in Australia right now. Their new single, Stop, is out. So go request that on your local radio station. Hit up the J's and go, oi, fuck yous. Play House Hats, Stop, Woodges. Fuck. Extra special thanks to the legends of Green, Iowa, Fascinator, the Ramshackle Army, and the Kits for the tunes that you heard throughout the episode and all week. NBA Australia supports Australian bands. It's just what we do. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash. And that's it, man. It's been a really fun week. Thanks for listening. Stick around for a very special episode of Cooking with Bainesy. And this is NBA Australia. We'll catch you on Monday. We're all out here just saying, later, Hosen. Have a great weekend again, Zoo. Welcome to Cooking with Bainesy. G'day. Welcome to Cooking with Bainesy. I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Bainesy. Wait, Baines. Yeah, that's my name. And in this here episode, we're going to cook up what every red-blooded Aussie man needs to know how to cook. A bloody good old-fashioned Aussie stir-fry. I'll tell you. I love me a stir-fry. Got to keep up this physique. So I eat a stir-fry pretty much every meal. Breakfast stir-fry, lunch stir-fry, dinner stir-fry, supper stir-fry, stir-fry snacks. So bloody well, I just know how to cook them perfect, I tell you. So, look, it's bloody simple, mate. You ready? All right, let's do this. So, all you got to do is go down to your soupy, buy a thing of frozen veggies, an onion, a thing of teriyaki sauce, and put some fucking nice fresh noodles in your basket, and away you go. Then you go over to your butcher, and you get a nice 300 grams or so of already sliced lean beef or chicken or pork, whatever floats your boat, and just make sure it's already been sliced so you don't have to do it yourself. Now, so you cut up your onion, and to make sure you don't cry like a girl, grow some bloody balls. Come on. Now, heat up your wok, get her nice and hot, fang a bit of peanut oil in there, veggie if you don't have peanut, away you go, swirl around. Then throw your onion in there, get her all nice and see-through, then just bam, chuck your bloody meat in there. Right there. Now give her a bit of a stir, make sure she cooks up till she's browned up a bit, then bang your frozen veggies in there on top. Not bloody bad. Oh, how's that? All right, so that should smell bloody amazing. But what you need to do now is just throw your noodles on top, in the wok, I reckon, and then dump a bunch of your teriyaki sauce in on there, and bam, there you go. Smells bloody beautiful, doesn't it? All right, so now grab yourself a quick tin, hang out for a second, let her bloody cook for about, I don't know, a minute, and voila, Bob's your bloody uncle, an absolute bloody ripper of a stir fry. And it's an absolute corker if your missus or your parents are around and you want to look fancy and cultured. But really, it's easy as piss, mate. Best part is, have a tin with it, and it's a meal any red-blooded man will love. All right, how easy was that? Tune in next week for my banger's burger recipe on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.